society organizations, because of course it's likely not just to be Palestine Action, but perhaps a whole range of groups, including mainstream groups that support Palestinian rights or take other.
Good evening. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and live at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio, all about performing arts in Montreal. From drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between, professional student and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known as Jurjage in the Ganiagaha language and Muniang in Anishinaabe Moan, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end in English and in French. I'm your host, Sarah Day, live in studio on Thursday, March 14th, 2024. I am joined by the excellent Xander Chung, who will be joining us a little later this hour. And let me wish you happy Pi Day, March 14th, 2024. I love the date. I stopped by Top Pies on Park Avenue earlier today and grabbed some hand pies to go, a Ned Kelly and a buttered chicken. Hope you're celebrating Pi Day in whichever way makes sense for you, whether it's by doing some math or having some actual pie. Make it work for you. There is so much theater in the city. I'll run down some things that you can do a little later on. But coming up on tonight's show, we're going to go from wrestling and circus to puppetry to interdisciplinary to Gilbert and Sullivan. We're going to touch base with Francis Monti, whose mentor was a giant in the Canadian puppetry scene. After he passed away, he left behind a literal and metaphorical legacy, and Francis has constructed a show based on the work of Felix, his mentor. It's opening at Théâtre aux Écuries tonight. He'll join us in a couple of minutes. Xander will then speak with Gabriel Antoine Roy, who is putting on a show called La Grande Mascarade at La Chapelle Sainte Contemporaine. It is a duo, and it riffs on the art of show business. Then we will take you to La Tahu in Montreal North. They're about to play host to a show that opened up at Quebec City at Le Diamant Théâtre, which is affiliated with Robert Lepage. So yes, his company, Ex Machina, has teamed up with a circus company, Flip Fabrique, to put on a show where the wrestling ring meets the circus ring. We will learn more about Slam at the halfway mark. And to wrap up the show, we will meet the Grand Duke, Gilbert and Sullivan's final show and only financial flop. It's not very well known except amongst Gilbert and Sullivan diehards, and it's being performed for the very first time in Quebec. It's a fun romp, as you would come to expect, but it also riffs on class differences and kind of pokes fun at the pompous people at the top. It opened last week and it continues this weekend at the Vanier College Auditorium. I will speak with the stage director at the Lakeshore Light Opera, one of our finest community companies. We'll have that conversation for you in just a moment. And just a reminder, also, our funding drive starts tomorrow. I'm rallying a couple of really cool prizes for you that you can be picking from if you choose to donate to Upstage. All that and more coming up this hour. Stay tuned.
Thursday, March 28th at La Sala Rosa, Orchestra Criminal launched a brand new album of criminal tunes sung in Yiddish, Bosnian, Greek, Arabic, Polish, Hindi, Spanish, Norwegian, and mixed Dengo. Orchestra Criminal is a gender-balanced 10-piece of improv performers busting out adventurous gangster songs from a dangerous and forgotten era. Thursday, March 28th, Orchestra Criminal's album launch at La Sala Rosa with special guests La Delegation. Tickets $20 in advance at casadelpopolo.com. Doors at 7. A co-presentation of Sueni Federal Popolo and CKET.
Spring into action. Outrage is happening March 11th through 24th.
Spring into Action is an annual event series that is organized and funded by QPIRG McGill and SSMU. Every spring, QPIRG organizes a week of free workshops, discussions, film screenings, and social events engaging local and global issues. We have an exciting lineup of events, including a screen printing workshop, community dinner and zine making night, Prison Abolition 101, and other practical and capacity building workshops for organizing in the midst of injustice and anger. Check out the schedule of events at qpergmcgill.org or on our Instagram at qpergmcgill.
Regresa el ídolo más esperado, Chayanne. Con su gira mundial Bailemos Otra Vez.
Lo dejaría todo porque te quedas.
15 de noviembre, Bell Center. A la venta este viernes 8 de marzo por Ticketmaster.com. Chayanne regresa en su gira Bailemos Otra Vez. Produce CMN.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Sarah Day. Well, we're going to take you to Théâtre aux Écuries up in Rosemount, where they are about to debut tonight a new show called Mon Conte de Feu, à vélo entre les bombes qui tombent. It is a fable set in wartime. It's a presentation with Théâtre de la Pire Espèce that they are doing with Théâtre aux Écuries. And it tells a story. It's a war fable, as I mentioned, but largely inspired by the legacy, both living and metaphorical, of one puppeteer named Félix Mirpt, a giant of the Canadian marionette scene. He passed away in 2002. One of his mentees was Francis Monty, who is the writer, creator, director of Mon Conte de Feu, and he joins us on the line. Good evening, Francis.
Hello.
Welcome to Upstage.
Yes, thank you. Good evening.
Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations on your new show.
Yes, thanks.
So this is a fascinating thing because for you, it's a personal story. You're building off the work left behind by your mentor. Tell me about Félix Mirpt.
Well, Félix was, yes, I met him, I worked with him on his two last show of his life. So I think it was in, 97. And another one in 2001. And I was at that time just getting out of the National Theatre School in playwriting. Didn't know much at that time about puppetry. And I met that famous puppeteer. And that was an amazing experience because he was working at the end of his life on, really fascinating and weird research. And I had the chance to be a part of it. And I met a lot of other puppeteers that I'm still working with, like Marcel Hudon, who is on the crew now of the new show. So she worked with Félix for 10 years. And so Félix, was, he direct a show, Wojciech. I don't remember exactly when. I think it was in the 80s, co-produced by the National, Le Centre des Arts Canada, National Arts Centre of Canada. And they did an amazing tour all over Canada with puppetry for adults. So he was really ahead of his time. And now I'm working on that show.
So he left behind a large number of marionettes, some journals, some autobiographical elements. Did you get access to this? Like, were you able to sift through these things in order to build your show?
Exactly. It was We still have the puppets now. It was a kind of a heritage that we received from him, me and Marcel Hudon. So we could work with the puppets that are still alive, let's say, and that journal also. He wanted to work on that before dying, to make a show, and he asked to me and Marcel to work with him on that, but he didn't have time. So we did a show in 2011, in 15 years ago. It was a kind of a retrospective with his puppet and parts of that diary journal. But now I choose from that journal like two short stories, really two short stories that was not written for theater. That was for me an inspiration to start the writing, and then because all that part is about his childhood in Germany, just before the Germans lose the war. And so he was German. So he made like an amazing trip in bicycle with his father. They had to carry an important amount of money from Berlin to the south of Germany. So they made that trip for like 3 months. They had to do the trip by night to avoid the control and then not to be seen. So that was for him an important moment in his life, because he was alone with his father, like for maybe the first time, and he was escaping also a violent school, military school where he was before meeting his father in Berlin, and they had to do that strange trip. And you know, he was a young teenager at that time, and he was looking for, like, for himself, for how to define himself. That was not easy after that, after going to that school. And he was searching really for a model, but the model around him was not a good model, let's say, not good enough for the kid. And also at the end of war, he discovered that he was on the wrong side. So that was a really tough moment for him at that time. And that's, meanwhile, he was saying that for him, all that trip was his fairy tale. So Felix was saying that, you know, and it was really strange for me reading that diary after his death and trying to understand why it's a fairy tale. I don't get it. I mean, all these events were really traumatic and tough to live. Yeah, really. So I was trying to find the fairy tale behind that. So I decided to write that play.
And do you feel like you've done your mentor justice in the production?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I think so. You know, like we had like the general yesterday, and that's what a few people told me, that he would have been happy to see that fairy tale on stage, so that him, the young Felix, in the show we don't have that much of his real puppet except one, but you know, all these figures, all these masks are
inspired
put
by
on
him.
Stage. Yeah, exactly. And not only the shapes, but the way of doing images with those shapes, and also all the dramaturgy that comes with it.
And you must feel so proud being able to finally see this open tonight. It's been almost 25 years since he passed away. And it also, this year marks 25 years since your company was founded, Théâtre de la Pire Espèce. Mm-hmm. So this must be really momentous.
Yeah, well, I'm proud, but I'm really touched about that because it's, you know, like that, it's a legacy. I have those puppets, I have those texts, and it's kind of a responsibility, let's say.
Yeah.
And now it's on stage, and the reaction was good yesterday, and now I'm, because it's all it's for adults and children, so I'm kind of curious to see how children will receive it. I'm really curious, and yeah, it's a touching moment.
It's been really great to speak with you, Francis. Congratulations on the anniversary year for your company and also this new production. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That is the voice of François Monti, who is the writer, director, creator of a new show called Mon Compte de Feu, A Vélo Entre les Bombes qui Tombent, the vélo, the bike there referencing this trip that his mentor, Félix, took when he was a young child escaping the war zone in Germany so many years ago. It is going to be performed at Théâtre aux Écuries starting this evening. Opening is tonight until the 26th. For tickets and more information, head to auxecuries.com. You can also go to Le Devoir, where there's a nice profile of the story explaining more about Felix's history and Francis's relationship with him, and also Olivier Ducas, who's another of the artists involved. Francis is not on stage for this, but there are three very talented female puppeteers in the show. It is 6:16. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. And still to come on the show, circus meets wrestling and the least popular Gilbert and Sullivan show, why it's getting a resurgence of interest so many years later. But first, we will take you over to La Chapelle for La Grande Mascarade. In the meantime, here's some Alison Russell. She won a Grammy, her first one, earlier this year. Originally from Montreal, being performing at the Studio TD tomorrow night with Asanabe opening for her. Tickets are sold out, but, you know, you might be able to beg, borrow, and steal. Here's her song, Springtime.
Through that tunnel I went through.
Through that tunnel I went through.
And my reward, my recompense. Springtime of my present tense.
Springtime of my present tense.
CKUT time is 6:19, and you're tuned into Upstage, the show about performing arts in Montreal. Got a whole mix of arts on this evening's show. And just a reminder, our funding drive kicks off tomorrow. We will have special prizes. Think tickets, think passes for people who support Upstage and CKUT. Stay tuned for further details. We go from Alison Russell's beautiful song, Springtime. By the way, Xander, I don't know if you knew this, but Springtime starts officially on Tuesday, coming up March 19th.
You mean it hasn't started yet?
I know, it feels like it, doesn't it? But it's not officially Springtime yet. And it's, to me, it's not official until St. Patrick's Day happens, and that's coming up on Sunday.
Honestly, it's official whenever I can walk out without a coat, without having to suit up. You know, that would be great.
That is totally fair. You have a really cool conversation for us tonight. Tell us about who you're going to be speaking with.
Well, tonight, we are currently talking with this fantastic artist who is currently touring with the On-Off Project. Gabriel Antoine Roy is joining us here to talk about his new production, La Grande Masquerade, at La Chapelle from March 20th to the 23rd. Flashy? Maybe. Passionate? Probably. Mysterious? I think so. Gabriel, welcome to Upstage.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Definitely happy to have you here. Coming off the heels of On or Off, what I gathered, La Grande Masquerade, is kind of represents an interesting tonal shift between the two productions, right? A different kind of feel, a different mood. What can we expect from this new show?
Yeah, sure. On or Off, it's a creation of Jacques Poulin-Denis, that is a choreographer, and I'm a dancer in that show. And La Grande Masquerade is a creation from me and my friend Etienne Lou. Yeah, that's it. And we're making a show of masks. I don't know if you guys know a bit about masks, like what kind of mask. We're doing masks that called topeng. So it's like half of the face that is covered by the mask. And yeah, that's it.
Half of the face that is the mask is covering. So what can you tell me about, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of cultural history when it comes to this kind of practice. you know, I'm kind of getting Familia dell'arte kind of vibes here.
It's kind of the same thing of a Commedia dell'arte, but we're doing we're not in that kind of it's not the same thing as we're not in the kind of you know, the character of La Commedia dell'arte, that they have the pantalon, they have Arlequin or things like that. We're not on that kind of specific character. We're using the mask as another perspective that is more like to involve things in our body, or, well, I'll go just try to be like more clear as possible, but we're doing that mask from, it's been 8 years that we're doing mask with a teacher that's called Nicolas Quentin. And Nicolas is a performer, and he's a choreographer. And yeah, and we're doing that with him since 8 years right now. And he's not like in the specific way of learning mask. It's more like in the presence and the authenticity that we find in that kind of art. And it's what we want it's what we love in that practice.
So you're creating a lot of characters. It sounds like you've been really involved with this very specific medium for quite a while. Yeah. And I'm very curious about, like, say, the process of, you know, so you're talking about embodying these characters with the body, mm-hmm. and so on. You know, it kind of reminds me of a lot of improv exercises, right? How you would get led by a specific body part that would then kind of snowball into creating a new character and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about, say, just off the top of your head, how did you and Etienne work on these characters? What kind of informed them?
What kind of what?
What kind of informed, like, these characters to be created on stage?
Yeah, like, I did a lot of improv when I was young, a lot of, like, typical improvisation that we got in Quebec, like all key setup and, like, with competition. And I find this kind of improv with mask that is very different, and it's what I love. It's more like in the embodying, and more in the presence. And with the mask, it's kind of you're creating the character with the mask that you got on your face. So it's kind of, sometimes it's the contraction of the face. Sometimes, you know, you need to like get up your lips, or you need to like change your voice. And just this gonna be like kind of make you a distance with the character and you. And this is creating your kind of character, is the voice that you put, the body or the face. Sometimes I got a mask that just need to close one eye. So like I need to get one eye open and one eye closed, all the improvisation, that this creates me something and creates something for the character. And it's kind of the starting point of the character and all our improv, the contraction or the like the distance with you and the character. And it's all, yeah, it's the starting point.
That's fascinating. And I'd imagine that there would have to, what kind of process that you would you use, say, to prepare yourself leading into one of these shows?
Yeah.
To get like into that kind of space mentally?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of we need to be like very warm in the body, because it's very physical, and like and we need to like wake up a lot of the brain and the thoughts, because there's a lot of it's kind of a relation that you're doing with the public. Like you need to be very like aware of what they're thinking, or aware of what they love and what they want you to continue, and what they want you to take it off. So we need to be very aware. So there's a warning in the body to be like very wake up, and there's a warning with the thought. Yeah, I think it's clear. Yeah.
That's really cool. And it honestly sounds like you're really bringing a lot of experience and a lot of expertise to this show, which actually kind of is, it's kind of fascinating then to lead me to my next question here. Why Harry Potter?
Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect. That's a great question. We want to it's the first time we're doing a show. We're doing mass since a long time, stage, like with a teacher and some student, and we're doing that since 8 years. But now we want to do a show. So we're like, at the beginning, we're like, okay, we need to like tell a story. We need to take a story and mask the character. Really love that. They love to have some classic story that they're gonna tell, and they're gonna tell it at their own way. And we think that Harry Potter, the Deadly Hallow, because we're talking about the Deadly Hallows, that is the story of the three brothers that wanted to pass across a river, and like they were not supposed, so the death just come at us and say, okay, you were supposed to dead. I give you some three prize, and one take a baguette, like I don't know what you call that, but like they had some prize. And it's kind of the story of in Harry Potter. I know a character tell that story. So we're taking the Deadly Hallows, and I think it's going to bring public to just they're going to be attracted by something very simple, and not like something very like a good story. And that's our base of the show.
That sounds like a really solid foundation. I mean, you're taking, I suppose, the idea of just this, you know, almost this Brothers Grimm kind of fairy tale that kind of exists in, you know, very identifiable, you know, your mm-hmm. Harry Potter stuff. You know, it had a very, if I remember the film correctly, it had a, when they were telling the Deathly Hallows, they had like shadow puppets or something like that, which was actually neat. And, you know, I think your medium would actually really, really work to tell a story that's very similar to, you know, using the Fairy Tale Foundation really interestingly. Gabriel, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. This sounds like a really interesting show. I honestly can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you're coming?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes. Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a pleasure.
Certainly. Yeah. And for those of you who might like to join me in the audience for La Grande Masquerade, from the 20th to the 23rd at La Chapelle, you can find more information at lachapelle.org or just call 514-843-7738. Don't know about you, Sarah, but this honestly sounds fun.
He had me at masks, explaining the masks off the top of the interview, because I love good mask work where you're seeing the top half of someone's face is a mask and the bottom half is their mouth. So interesting to look at. So yeah,
I'm honestly, that was always my favorite Phantom of the Opera mask, right there, the half face there. Yeah, no,
you're going to be singing the
Masquerade.
Yeah. Oh, you should have sung it the whole time through.
Oh God, no,
thank you so much, Sandra. Fascinating chat there with Gabriel Antonois, who is going to be at La Chapelle next week. And you're joining us right now on CKT, the show about performing arts in Montreal, show about theater on the radio. It is currently 6:30. Still a lot to come on the show this evening. We are going to touch base with the Lakeshore Light Opera. They are putting on the Grand Duke Gilbert and Sullivan's final show and biggest flop. We'll find out why they're putting it on at this weekend at Vanier College. But up next, Wrestling Meets Circus in Slam, a show coming to La Tahoe next week. A very big Quebec theater player is involved with this production. We'll find out more in just a moment.
If it sounds like Montreal, it sounds like CKUT. CKUT's annual funding drive is back, and this year we're celebrating the city that made us. From Friday, March 15th to Sunday, March 24th, tune in for an earful of Montreal-made magic. Your favorite programmers will be live in studio and live streaming online for the first time ever. Tune in online, on the good old-fashioned radio, or join us in person. CKUT friends and family will be providing the tunes for an opening party at Bar La Marche à Côté on March 14th and a closing night on March 23rd at Nouvel Établissement. Stay tuned at our website for other events that put the fun in fundraising. Don't miss these celebrations of community radio and sounds of the city from your favorite local DJs. We need $50,000 to keep CKUT on the map. Powering a nonprofit radio station is more expensive than ever. Will you answer the call of your community before it's too late? Donate now by visiting ckut.ca/donate or by calling 514-907-9424. CKUT 90.3 FM, the sound of Montreal since 1987.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. And I'm indulging you with the theme music for Sami Zayn, who is a Montreal-based wrestler. I don't know if he's based in Montreal or in Florida right now, but he is a Montreal boy making his way through the wide world of wrestling. He is part of the WWE, and that is his entrance theme, Worlds Apart. And we are playing some wrestling music, maybe some unconventional wrestling music, because the next show we're going to talk about is called Slam with an exclamation point, all caps. It's Wrestling Ring Meets Circus Ring, a production by Ex Machina and Flip Fabrique, a wonderful circus company of which Bruno Gagnon is a part, our director and co-director general at the company. The last time we spoke with Bruno Gagnon was still kind of in my early pandemic days, where all my interviews were done over Zoom, and Bruno was getting ready to put on the show, we think, 6 degrees over at La Tohu during the Montréal Complément Cirque Festival, and Bruno joins us on the line. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome back to Upstage. It's great to have you back. You are a very busy person, and you're just coming off the opening of the show at the Diamant, this amazing theater in Quebec City that I've heard so much about. And you've now are now in the process of bringing it to Montreal.
Absolutely. Slam will be second city in Montreal at La Tohu. We're really happy. The Diamant went super well. We were sold out. People were happy. The audience was great, and of course the acrobats were, you know, thrilled to perform for the first time.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful experience to get to finally share something that you've been working on for so long with a live paying audience.
Yes, please.
So wrestling and circus might feel like a very fresh mashup, I think, a fresh combination for audiences, but I think there's a lot of connections between these two art forms. Tell me about how you came to put these two together.
Well, of course, wrestling, when you think about it, it has to start with a show. It is a show. So people come and see a gala. We see a gala, or it's an event. So it's not sport. It's sport, yes. But so at the end of the day, it really matches circus, because circus is really difficult to put the pin in it. Like, this is circus or this is not circus. I believe circus englobes, circus brings everything together. So when it mixes with wrestling, my acrobats were really thrilled and very happy to learn fast how to become a wrestler and find the wrestler in them.
Let's get to the training in just a moment. I also just want to highlight that people who may not consume a lot of wrestling may not realize that there is a lot of storylines going on. Someone like Sami Zayn, who I just referenced, you know, is coming in as a heel, a bad guy, or a good guy,
Absolutely.
The hero. There's rivalries. These things don't happen
Absolutely.
Just au naturel. Like, they are built up, and some people might think that's artifice, but that same person will go to the movie theaters and watch a 3-hour movie.
Exactly.
So and circus at the same time is also trying to tell a story, but oftentimes it's not a linear thing. We don't have someone standing up and saying, like, and I was walking down the street and then this happened to me, come into my world. It takes a bit of digging to get into the story in a circus show at times.
You're right. Absolutely.
Thank you. I liked being told I'm right. Okay, so tell me about your wonderful acrobats and how they, you know, how do you, because they're so highly trained. Circus is a really serious art form in that sense. And a lot of people do it, you know, before they even get to circus school, they're already practicing. So how do they learn to get into wrestling or the stance? Like, what did you have to kind of dig into here?
Well, usually when we perform acts and when we perform shows, as an acrobat, I know myself, it hurts. Everything hurts all the time. And when we create shows, we create tracks, acrobatic tracks, that hurt the less possible. And so that the artist can be, you know, enjoying his track without having so much pain, although it is pain to the acrobatic. So what we told all the acrobats is the track you're going to have, you will have to manage the pain as well, because you will have pain. When you get like a clothesline or you're getting slammed basically on the mattress on the floor, it is going to hurt. So this first part is to learn how to deal with the falling and the hurting themselves. Because usually in circus, we try to avoid that, although now that was explicitly the whole creation process, to get hurt and then,
right,
you know, fight. So yeah, basically that was the main aspect through their journey, you know, mentally and physically. Although we had also Marco Estrada that was helping us throughout the creation to, you know, help us out with the basics of, you know, the lockup and the some tricks that usual wrestler has in their bucket, which now we needed to learn to be acrobats.
Again,
so,
and
yeah,
he
it was
is
a lot of work.
He's a professional wrestler, and you brought him on board to really give it that sense of
authenticity. Yeah, Marco Estrada is like a champion du monde. He's the he brands himself as the best in the world, and he basically in NSPW, he's like the champion. He always has the belt. So, and he's a good friend of us, good friend of Robert Lepage, and it was a blast having him around. To show my acrobats how to fall and have pain.
You got the best for your acrobats.
Absolutely.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about pain. I don't think I've ever had a guest bring that up as part of the routine, part of the training involved in putting on a physical production.
It is painful. To be an acrobat, it is painful.
We're speaking with Bruno Gagnon, who is Artistic Director and Co-Director General at Flip Fabrique, and they teamed up with Ex Machina to put on this remarkable new show that bridges the circus world and the wrestling world. It's called Slam, coming to La Tahoe next week. So, Bruno, I'm curious about this part. It's funny that we have a partnership between circus and wrestling. Your company, Flip Fabrique, partnering with Ex Machina, Robert Lepage's theater company, very esteemed company in Quebec and known around the world, as is your own company. So how did this marriage happen as well? How did you end up deciding to collaborate together?
About 12 years ago, when Robert Lepage saw our show Attrape-moi for the first time at Caserne d'Alousie, which was here in Quebec, and he saw the show, and he was like, yeah, that's great. Wow, what a great show. And we first met. And I met with Ex Machina team. I met with his sister, Linda. And then, you know, I was just chasing him for 10 years so that he could do a mise-en-scène of our show. And at some point, the stars were aligned, and I was in his office. And then we talked about the new show, what we could do. And we ended up, watching wrestling and being like, oh, that's what we could. And then I realized we would do a show with wrestling in it. And so that's basically how it happens, with patience and aligned stars.
So you're bringing the circus expertise and a certain theatricality with Flip Fabrique. What does Ex Machina bring to the table for this collaboration?
Oh, it's big productions. I mean, Ex Machina always plays around with cameras and projections and new ways to develop mics. And they do have a big R&D research and development, you know, full time at their office. And so they really bring up the whole aspect where we do not have usually, which is, you know, big costumes and complex videos and complex ways to mic things and have lyrics that are tweaked. And so it's a lot of technical aspect that has been really pushed forward with Ex Machina.
If you look at photos to preview the production, you can see them up on our Instagram at UpstageCKUT. There's a really beautiful image of two wrestlers or performers slamming each other down in the middle of the ring. So obviously this is a spectacle. It's going to look good. It's going to feel good. What for you, though, as an artist, are the artistic questions you're trying to answer by putting the show on?
You know, I think they're very simple questions. But they are deep but simple. The audience won't know until they see the show what they're going to see. Is it a wrestling match? Is it a circus show? Is it a theater show? And at the end of the day, when you watch the show, it's the same as Flip Fabrique production. It's a feeling good, very light, very energetic, super powerful, funny as hell. And it's also really, it goes really fast. And you feel after, you know, an hour and a half, and you're like, what? That was an hour and a half. I laughed, I cried, I was surprised. I had a bunch of emotions, and it's a feel-good show, to be honest. Yes, it is entertaining. It is so entertaining.
Okay, so we're coming away with a fun, exhilarating experience. That's the deeper,
yes.
That's the deeper experience.
Yes, I mean, there's some, of course, Robert Lepage, and even ourselves, we went deep into very big storytelling and lyrics and all that. Now with Slam, to be honest, it is straight in your face, super entertaining, super high quality, everything, costume, music, design, video and everything. So it's a very, very high-tech production. But at the end of the day, this is entertainment, and it does its magic, yeah.
My very last question for you, Bruno, quickly, is for you as an artist to do something that is so focused on fun and exhibition, does that feel like a breath of fresh air for you? Does that feel like a change from what you normally do?
Of course. I mean, the match with Ex Machina is great. We see in it that it's a Flip LA production for sure. Does it bring us somewhere else? Of course, with all Ex Machina's expertise, as I said, with all the extra technical aspect and the big productions and all that. So, yes, it is a new way for us to produce a show in theater, yeah.
It's been a real pleasure speaking with you again, Bruno. I hope we get a chance to talk again soon. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
That is the voice of Bruno Gagnon, who is the Artistic Director and Co-Director General at the company Flip Fabrique. They are teaming up with Ex Machina to put on a new show called Slam. It comes to La Tohus starting on March 19th, the first day of spring, and running until April the 7th. For tickets and more information, please head to tohu.ca and dial 514-376-8648 for photos and more. And for more information, you can also check out our Instagram at Upstage CKUT, where I've got a couple of images sent to us by the press people if you want to get a glimpse of what looks to be very promising, very exciting. We're into the final moments of our show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will meet in just a couple of moments the Grand Duke, Gilbert and Sullivan's final show, and arguably their only financial flop, why it's getting its Quebec premiere this week.
CKUT's annual funding drive is back and taking place from March 15th to 24th, 2024. We have exciting new merch available for our donors, including t-shirts, tote bags, mugs, magnets, and posters. Thanks to the generosity of this year's sponsors, you'll get a chance to win goodies from your favorite local businesses, festivals, and more, with every donation $35 or above. This year's sponsors include Pop Montreal, Cinema Public, Constellation Records, Mutech, Festival du Nouveau Cinéma, Encore Books and Vinyl, RIDM, CNL Cycle, Adam Hart, Just Seeds, Lola Rosa, Putting Edge, Drawn and Quarterly, Death of Vinyl, La Rama, La Seltzer, Dispensaire Microbrasserie, Luglion, Pizza Bouquet, and Paragraph Bookstore. CKUT would like to thank our sponsors for supporting another year of people-powered community radio. For more details on prizes and to donate, go to ckut.ca/donate.
That is music from The Grand Duke, presented by the Gilbert and Sullivan Opera Company, back from 2012 at the 19th International Gilbert and Sullivan Festival in Buxton, England. If you'd like to see that a little closer to home, you can check out the Vanier College Auditorium, which is playing host to two more performances of The Grand Duke, which is, as I understand it, the final show that Gilbert and Sullivan put on together, the final of their comic operas, and the least successful. It had a very short run. It was a bit of a flop financially. And in fact, the show hasn't even been performed in Quebec until now, until the Lakeshore Light Opera took it on. The stage director, Coralie Heiler, joins me on the line. Good evening.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining me. Opening weekend was last weekend, and you have two more shows. How's it going so far?
It's going great. The audience has been responding really well to the production, so we're very, very happy.
So when people think of Gilbert and Sullivan, they have a couple of operas in mind in their heads, like the Mikado and the ones that stick out very strongly. And this is a deep cut. It's lesser known out of their collaborations. Tell me about the history of the play before we get into the story.
Well, One thing I do know is that it was Gilbert and Sullivan's last collaboration. It premiered in 1896 at the Savoy Theater, and it was actually conducted, the first performance was conducted by Arthur Sullivan himself, and it hasn't been revived until 1975 by the Doyle Carty Company.
Oh, wow, so it hadn't been performed for practically 100 years.
Yeah, practically.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so what would have made this, I guess, less popular? Do you know, like, what factors?
Actually, it was very long. It had a lot of plots that essentially what we did is we took the piece, we looked at the piece, and we're like, okay, for today's society, we need to bring this down to, you know, two hours and a short bit at most, you know? So we did reduce the piece quite a bit to make it more user-friendly for today's society. And I think that's why people are responding to it quite well now. But what's fun with this production is that it's actually, the Grand Duke is essentially that Gilbert and Sullivan came full circle back to the theme of their first show, which was Thespis, in which a troupe of actors take over politically the power of the, in Bolin Thespis, it was Mount Olympus. In this case, it's Fennig Hobfennig,
right,
which is a German duchy.
We have a couple of actors staging a coup. Tell us about the story. We know the title is The Grand Duke, so there is this kind of miserly hypochondriac guy with a lot of power at the heart of it. And who's trying to take over from him and why?
Basically, it's the theatrical troupe of Fennig Hobfennig that is run by Ernest Dumkopf, which basically his last name means dunderhead. But anyway, that's
I was
digress.
Just wondering that. Okay, yeah. Okay.
And basically, they want to stage a coup, but the problem is that the leading actor, Ludwig, has revealed to the Grand Duke detective the whole of the plot. And so now things have to change, plans change, and we have a solution by the notary of the village, Dr. Tannhauser, who suggests that they should do a statutory duel. And basically, I don't want to give too much away because it's really fun, but there's a whole lot of shenanigans and stuff, but it comes down to the statutory duel is basically a duel with cards, and the person who draws the highest card wins, and the person who draws the lowest card loses and dies for 24 hours.
Okay.
Anyway, and essentially, it's a whole lot of misunderstandings and mistaken identities, and it's just a lot of fun.
I'm speaking with Coralie Heiler, who is the stage director for The Grand Duke, being performed by Lakeshore Light Opera at this weekend at the Venia College Auditorium. So I'm imagining for people who are big fans of Gilbert and Sullivan, they love the Mikado and they love the gondoliers and the HMS Pinafore. This is something they haven't seen before. We know that for a fact, because this is the first time it's being performed live in the province, as far as we know. So do you find that there's this element of delight for the audience and the cast and the crew, like that this is something?
Absolutely. But first of all, the music is beautiful. I mean, Sullivan, he was a master at his craft, right? So the music is beautiful. And as I said, and Gilbert with his quirkiness made a really fun story. So, I mean, from that perspective, people who are diehard GNS fans are going to love this show just because it's a GNS show, and it has references to other productions as well. Like there's elements of Patience mentioned in there, and there's a calendar, as we say, to HMS Pinafore in there. And I mean, like this whole, for people who know Gilbert and Sullivan, they're going to recognize elements of other Gilbert and Sullivans within this show. So it has a lot of Easter eggs, like they call it.
That's fantastic.
It is fun. So they're going to have fun for sure.
And for you as a stage director, I'm wondering if there's a bit more a flexibility or an imagination that comes to this, because it's not something people have been seeing for decades. Like it's new, even though it's old. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. Basically, it's a clean slate. I can build the world from scratch, and with my fellow, with my fellow thespians, with my fellow actors, we can build these characters. Since no one has seen the show, people can give us, you know, more opportunities to go and explore possibilities. And even in the script, we were able to go and put a couple little modern ideas in there. That's the thing that some would go over and tell us that from time to time, you can put a little, you know, a little wink, wink towards some modern, you know, technology or something that slipped into the dialogue with great fun and great ease. So it gave us a chance to really build from the bottom up. And people can't say, well, you know, I was expecting that because it happened that way at this company. And like here, it's like, nope, you have no expectations. So what's fun with no expectations is that you can't be disappointed. You can only be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, because there's nothing that they're going to contrast it to. They're not going to be like, oh, yes, I heard this in high school or I saw this in a film. It's totally wholly fresh and original. What is your favorite song or moment from The Grand Duke?
Oh, gosh. Okay. There are a few. I mean, first of all, there's a song in this show, which is basically about sausage rolls. So already that's a very quirky song.
Right. Yeah.
I love there's an ensemble piece where you have the Prince of Monte Carlo that arrives, and it's just this beautiful moment musically, with the different actors and characters. I get to have a chance to perform one of the characters in the show as well. I'm playing Julia Jellicoe, and I have some pretty, pretty amazing scenes. So it's a lot of fun for me to sing. I don't want to give away too much again because it's a lot to discover. It's a lot of fun, but I just have so much fun in the show, not only directing but performing as well. So it's
Well, Coralie, thank you so much for coming on to tell us about The Grand Duke, and I hope you just have a blast this weekend.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we will, and there's going to be that last show when the curtain falls for the last time on The Grand Duke. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a lot of tears in our eyes because we'll have been so proud with this show, and hoping we can do this again in the near future.
Absolutely. Coralie, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the radio.
That is Coralie Heiler, who is the stage director for the Lakeshore Light Opera's The Grand Duke, Gilbert and Sullivan's final show and their only financial flop, being performed for the first time in Quebec until March 16th at the Vanier College Auditorium. So there's a show tomorrow night and then one on Saturday afternoon. Tickets are between $33 and $38, roughly. I'm rounding up there. You can get those and more information at llo.org, Lakeshore Light Opera, llo.org. And of course, they also fundraise. Every production is a fundraiser going towards hospitals and very good causes. So it's great to support this community theater company. We're listening to a little bit more of The Grand Duke, this 2012 production on YouTube. I mean, you can watch it on YouTube, but go see it live because there's nothing better than live. It's been a live episode of Upstage tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. A very big thank you to all of our guests this evening, Coralie Heiler, Bruno Gagnon at Flip Fabrique, and Gabriel Antoine Roy, who is going to be performing La Grande Mascarade next week at La Chapelle Saint Contemporain. And thank you to Xander, who did such a great job speaking with Gabriel Antoine. Francis Monti as well, who is performing or is seeing the performance of his show Mon Conte de Feu à Vélo Entre les Bombes qui Tombent, which is a wartime fable inspired by his mentor. It's for kids and adults at Théâtre du Curie until the 26th of March. It is a very big weekend for theater. Xander, you and I are off to go to Tisserie Dunia for opening night of the Chemical Valley project.
Oh yeah. No, I really can't wait to see this one.
We're off. We got to run and go see that down the street at Cité des Hospitaliers. Guilt, a Love Story, fabulous one-woman show that we learned about last week, is going to be opening tomorrow night at Centaur Theatre. And Infinitheatre has a couple tickets left for the remaining performances of their adaptation of Kai Kellow's novel, Dominoes at the Crossroads. Really effusive praise that they've been getting for that show. I haven't seen it yet myself, and I'm wondering how can I squeeze this in with a couple shows left. So lots to see and do this weekend. Don't forget, today's pie day, so have a slice of pie, whether it's pizza or pecan pie or a hand pie at Top Pies. Enjoy that. And of course, have a safe and wonderful St. Patrick's Day this coming Sunday. Hope you enjoy. That is a sure sign of spring. And the seasons change over on Tuesday. Another big thing, of course, is that CKUT's funding drive kicks off in a matter of hours, starting tomorrow morning. You can donate at ckut.ca/donate or call 514-907-9424. Now, a nice thing is you can always dedicate your donation to a show, and I'm hoping you'll choose Upstage. We're here making shows most weeks out of the entire year covering theater in Montreal. There's been a lot of cutbacks in mainstream media, and they don't cover arts as much as they used to, but this is a place where you can count on hearing conversations, not so much criticism, criticism, but conversations with artists in and around this beautiful city. And so if you can make a donation to us, we would appreciate it. Of course, it keeps the lights on here, keeps us on air at CKUT. And I'm going to be wrangling some really great prizes for people who make donations. Think tickets, think maybe passes. All of that could be yours. I'll have more details next week when we come back on Thursday, March 21st. In the meantime, have a safe and wonderful weekend. I'm Sarah DeA. Up next is Gray Matters with my friend Fortner Anderson. Be safe.
Capitalism in class. No Borders Media is an autonomous left-wing media network. We share and create content that supports the struggles of communities in resistance with a focus on the self-determination struggles of Indigenous peoples, migrants, refugees, and working class people of color in the context of opposition to capitalism and colonialism. Stay tuned for Upstage.
El ídolo más esperado, Shayan. Shayan. Con su gira mundial Bailemos Otra Vez.
Lo dejaría todo porque te quedas.
15 de noviembre, Bell Center. A la venta este viernes 8 de marzo por Ticketmaster.com. Chayanne regresa en su gira Bailemos Otra Vez.
Produce CM. Good evening and welcome to the March 14th edition of Gray Matters. Tonight on the show we have a lecture by Ralph Nader entitled Corporate Autocracy, Fascism, Trump and the Election. It was recorded in Washington, D.C. on February 9th, 2024. Ralph Nader, a legendary figure, spent a lifetime fighting on behalf of ordinary people. Life magazine ranked him as one of the most influential Americans of the 20th century. The Atlantic named him one of the 100 most influential figures in U.S. history. He's the founder of Public Citizen. He's a longtime advocate for consumer safety and workers' rights. He's the author of numerous books, including Return to Sender, Unstoppable, To the Ramparts, Breaking Through Power, and The Rebellious CEO, 12 Leaders Who Did It Right. At 90, Citizen Nader is as